Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Harmony Foundation podcast series. It's my pleasure today to be joined with Julie Thorne Ingalls and Clay Ingalls with Roots Collaborative out of Aspen, Colorado. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
So good to have you both here, and I'm excited to talk with you a little bit more about Roots and what you all do. But let me start with you first, Julie. So you have an extensive background in brand strategy and marketing, which is a little different than what you're doing now. So I'm just curious, what got you into working with Roots Collaborative from where you started in doing like this, what appears to be a pretty extensive background in marketing and brand strategy?
Well, thank you for asking. That's probably, I could speak for an hour about that. But, you know, the short answer is I had the opportunity to get sober young. And I got introduced to this woman, Nancy Hill, in a Dare to Dream workshop. And she was the first person who introduced me to that idea of dreaming really big and setting goals to achieve your dreams. And that led me to entrepreneurship. And brand marketing was sort of my first real business experience within that. But all the while, going to meetings, staying really involved in the community and helping out with recovery. And then when I met Clay, we did some dreaming together and some vision board work. And he always had a passion for, as we both did, for young people in recovery and the certain vulnerabilities and sensitivities that they have because they're still part of a family unit. So that sort of loss of control that you can't create an atmosphere that might be appropriate for your recovery because you're going home to a family system. And so we started dreaming about what Roots Collaborative could be almost 11 years ago and have done kind of not fits and starts, but have that the brand has evolved. And then about, what, a year ago, we knew our youngest child was getting ready to go to college, and so we started to really put our minds together and think about what we could bring to the table with our resources, our knowledge, our passion, and Roots Collaborative, as we know it today, kind of was born then, and we went and got certified as a RISE interventionist, which really speaks to our hearts. And there you go. Yeah. So it's been fantastic. And I think a lot of the things that I, my skill sets from brand strategy are very applicable because when working with families, it's like thinking about like, well, what do you want your families to look like? And what do you want your life to look like? And then how are we going to get there? And that's a very parallel process to what we do with working with our clients.
I think it's great. And you're right. It's like everything that you do in life, there's a direction that it takes you towards. And that clearly was what got you to where you are today. Honestly, I don't think I could work with my spouse day to day. So that alone is pretty remarkable that you both have that kind of partnership that you can do this kind of work is fantastic.
Thank you.
And I want to talk a little bit more about the nature of Roots. So when I spent some time on your website, you really do have it, and you mentioned this, Julie, this really strong focus on family and really looking at how to heal the family. Even some of the workshops that you do, I think you do retreats, don't you, where you're working with families specifically. Can you talk a little bit more, Clay, about, you know, number one, why the ARISE model? There's so many different versions of intervention work. Why did you choose that one? And, you know, what is it about the family system piece that you think is so important in addressing addiction?
Well, thank you for having us here. We've had a great experience up here at the Harmony Foundation. So, yeah, we, for me at least, and Julie as well, that the ARISE model really addresses the family as a whole and looks at the family systems and what's helped that family survive trauma, loss, utilizing, you know, substance abuse, alcohol through the generations, disorders with food, self-harm. It really addresses all those things. And those are all things that Julie and myself both experienced, you know, getting sober young, having had family systems that weren't working for us anymore. And being a young person in recovery in a family network, it was somewhat isolating that I was, you know, going to meetings, getting therapy, trying to address some of the challenges. And it's hard when you're younger not to put expectations on your family, like, hey, well, why aren't you getting this? Mm-hmm. I'm getting it. Why don't you? But they didn't have any way to articulate what their experience was. I did. I was, you know, straight up junkie and mm-hmm. alcoholic and, you know, basically left home at a pretty young age. And so for me, this really speaks to that, that it invites the entire family into their own path to healing, mm-hmm. the family network, which also evidence-based, that if that family starts to heal themselves, whether that's going to Al-Anon meetings, and they self-diagnose themselves, that's what the whole dynamic is about. Like, oh, maybe I should check out some Al-Anon meetings. Maybe I should plug into some other support, some resources, some therapy, some psychiatry, whatever those things are. And so it really sets everybody on their own journey to healing. And so that allows for sustainable recovery for the individual that was struggling with the substance or the disorder. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and it's interesting because even here you have cases, and I've seen this over the years, where families are... they walk into a facility when they're dropping their loved one off a treatment, just saying, just fix them. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what, I don't have a role to play other than you just need to fix them. And it really, over the years, has been a disservice in the industry that there hasn't been more effort placed around the family system and recognizing that it's a family disease and recognizing that the family is sometimes a bigger part of the problem, and putting that individual who's built, created some foundation of early recovery back into a system that isn't supportive of that early recovery just sets that person up for failure. And mm-hmm. so I'm happy to hear that you all are taking the approach that you're taking. I think we need to do more of that. And, you know, hopefully maybe we can actually see the whole intergenerational cycle break if we're building more of that holistic approach around family system care versus it just being about the individual. And mm-hmm. you said you felt very isolated because you were getting it, but they weren't getting it. And sometimes it's their recovery as well, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. They have to work the recovery program too. So,
sure. I think one of the things that you had also asked is like some of the retreats and the work that we do with family. So we do a lot of vision work in terms of what does our family want to look like? And part of that starts in the ARISE process mm-hmm. where we'll say, what's the family recovery message? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have one person's specific name in it, like right. Jim or Susie or Joe or mm-hmm. Bobby. It's got the family.
Right.
So that intergenerationally we can start to heal so that our children and our children's children can be free of the addiction cycle. Mm-hmm. And from there, once you start to get on a trajectory of health, mm-hmm. and we've worked with a family for 6 months or longer, depending on the circumstances, then the retreat comes in when it's like, okay, now we're all feeling better. What kinds of exciting goals do we want to reach for? Mm-hmm. And especially when we start thinking about, you know, Clay talked a little bit about himself feeling isolated, and I felt that same way because as I started to get in touch with myself at a younger age and who I wanted to be in the world, that was much different than my family's plan for me. Mm. And the same with Clay. So as a young person, they're like, oh, well, great, you're going to go to a 4-year university and you're going to work and get a 401k and you're going to be mm-hmm. these things. And to them, that's safety, security, success. And for me, it looks totally different.
Sure.
And so then that creates this sort of lifelong schism of you're other and you're the creative one, the wild one, or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, each story, each family has its own story, mm-hmm. but it's hard to escape from that. Whereas if you sit down with a family and you start to kind of dream and what does the vision look like? And I start to recognize that you're a totally different person than mm-hmm. me. We might have the same values mm-hmm. and ethics, but how I'm going to go and express them in life might be 100% different than going and being a doctor and I'm going to be an artist.
Yep.
And they're both valid.
Yep.
And when we're talking about, I mean, all ages, it's just, I think we like to work with young people, A, because we've been there, but plus, if you come into treatment when you're 40, 50, mm-hmm. you might already be married. You have a lot. You have to unwind a lot mm-hmm. In order to maybe self-actualize. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you're younger, the playing ground is very level.
Right, right. And you're actually not really talking about just the families that struggle with addiction. You're talking about all families.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're talking about a system that's really kind of applicable to every family, whether there's addiction in the family or mm-hmm. not, that could benefit from something like this.
Absolutely.
So you've all both talked, and I can already feel a little bit of your why factor, you know, that whole Simon Sinek concept of, mm-hmm. you know, what is it that motivates you? What is it that kind of gets you up in the morning and gets you going? And so, you know, I'm going to ask actually both of you what that looks like. So only because before I kind of got a little bit of that. So we'll start with you first, Clay. And what is your why factor? What is it that kind of gets you spurred up in the day?
Well, I'd say I'm passionate about people, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. I'm very passionate about everybody having an opportunity, mm-hmm. you know, male, female, regardless. I'm just... Yeah, I think that I have a real aversion towards roadblocks produced for others, mm. right? You know, depending on, you know, where they grew up or the color of their skin or anything that is being imposed upon somebody that's not necessarily... It has nothing to do with that person, mm-hmm. you know? And that could be within a family system, that can be... in a professional system. I'd really like to be the ambassador of goodwill. Mm, you know?
That's great.
And I try to live that. And so that is my why factor because, you know, for me, that gets me fired up mm-hmm. and then it totally lends itself to exactly the direction that Julie and I are going in, that, you know, I have a lot of empathy for a young person that is acting out on all things that happened generations prior to them showing up.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're a victim, mm-hmm. you know, because I did live in that, you know, and that's a hard place to move forward from. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're always a victim, it's hard to be grateful, mm. you know, mm-hmm. it's hard to be accountable. There are a lot of things. So I'm not saying that about people, but there's some very real challenges that are imposed upon people mm-hmm. and they don't even know how to articulate it. Mm-hmm. And so they might act out in a way that's not acceptable socially, but it's totally understandable.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly like that. That's great that we need more people doing the goodwill thing, which is important. How about you, Julie? What's your why factor?
That's a good question. I think part of it... Well, if you didn't know, couldn't sense this already, I'm a big dreamer. Mm-hmm. So I think being able to visualize what kind of life you want to have and have the opportunity to get there. And usually when there's a dream, there's roadblocks that come into play. And I feel like that motivates people. If you have a dream, mm-hmm. you're more likely to work through roadblocks, mm-hmm. right? It's mm-hmm. not that much fun to work through issues, mm-hmm. whether it's trauma, loss, grief, mm-hmm. addiction, eating disorders. I mean, fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. But when there's this larger sense of a dream and something to live for, mm-hmm. it makes working through those things much more palatable. And especially when, as the Roots Collaborative, like when you have a family mm-hmm. that really appreciates who you are and who you want to become and where you're going and supports it. And I think in, at least in Western culture, there's still a lot of judgment around the right way to live. Mm-hmm. And although that might be breaking down a little bit more based on where we are with the economy mm-hmm. and young people being more kind of the gig economy, et cetera, I still think, you know, comfort in your family unit and acceptance. I mean, that is the tightest nucleus mm-hmm. and social structure there is. And so I think it's really exciting that, you know, we can take both of our skill sets and melt them together and really help people who have a serious obstacle, but work with families from that point of view, but then also starting to paint this picture of like what inspires you, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, to keep going. Especially, I feel like the younger you are mm-hmm. when you get sober. I mean, I can remember thinking, and this dates me, I was going to watch Blockbuster mm-hmm. for the rest of my freaking life, mm-hmm. and why go on?
Right.
And yeah, you know, flash forward a year later, mm-hmm. and I'm in college, I'm making movies, I'm mm-hmm. doing all these fun things, mm-hmm. things I would never have ever imagined myself doing a year prior.
Mm-hmm. So a visionary, so, for sure. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
So I guess if I were to ask, I'm going to ask you also, Julie, if we like to get to know the people behind the program sometimes, uh-huh. so we ask some interesting questions.
Yeah.
And so how has a failure or an apparent failure set you up for success? And do you have a favorite failure?
Well, I have, so as a visionary and an early entrepreneur, I've had tons of them. Mm-hmm. And I actually, when we were living in Santa Monica, there was a series that looked at art, science, and something else, and talking about failure. Mm-hmm. And in science, they look at, I mean, failure is an everyday process, right? You don't get to success until you've had thousands of failures.
That's correct.
And in other applications, we don't look at it that way, right? Mm-hmm. Like people try something, they fail publicly, and then you want to crawl back into a hole.
Mm-hmm.
So I think my most favorite failure, and probably the most impactful in my own life, and this has happened in the last 10 years, is because I've always done a lot of vision work and done vision workshops over the course of my sobriety. I decided to do a tech startup around a vision board platform. So think Pinterest with a purpose, mm-hmm. but for young women, mm-hmm. and to be able to dream big and then set milestones. So we raised capital. I realized that I was a female without an MBA. I didn't have, you know, a Wall Street background. I had no idea how hard it was to have a startup as for anybody, but let alone a female. I had been used to winning pretty big jobs in my marketing agency.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up failing in the sense of the goals that we set out to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of being, you know, more of a small startup, we had goals like Twitter, Facebook, mm-hmm. Pinterest.
Oh, big ones.
So, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like
shoot
a unicorn.
For the stars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
right.
So that's where we started from. And then I think what happened is, of course, I have this dream about dreaming, supporting other people in dreams, and then I fail.
Mm.
And then having to really rethink about, like, well, what is possible, and what is the value of dreaming, and what is the value if the dream doesn't come true mm-hmm. the way you want it to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been sobering,
mm-hmm.
you know, but at the same time, I think that's where when we started to look at, like, there's an idea of the work that you want to do, and then there's an idea, and then there's the actual work every day. And to be a tech startup founder and CEO, you're raising money every mm-hmm. day. And that's what that job looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not the job that was for me.
Mm-hmm.
I like working with people, being engaged, having conversations, supporting dreams, one-to-one.
Which you would not have known unless you had gone through
unless
that
Unless I had done it.
Yep. So you it's know, not a failure.
It's not a failure at all.
Win.
I mean, and the other thing is that I think, you know, if depending on what one's perspective is in life, you know, kind of that go big or go home philosophy is that my life has been, although it was interesting before that,
mm-hmm.
now just having the respect and having been a player at a table,
mm-hmm.
even if that I didn't raise $10 million and go mm-hmm. bananas in Silicon Valley. It's like still mm-hmm. that I did it.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
You know,
well,
it's amazing.
Good for you, because a lot mm-hmm. of people don't even step foot into that world at all for fear, for mm-hmm. effect of fear. So that's great. Failure is scary, but it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make that my slogan.
Okay. I like it.
Me too.
Yeah.
So Clay, if I were to play off the word harmony, what do you think it means to live a life in harmony?
So what's the word? It's Julie's word.
Uh-huh.
It's actually the
Kokora.
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 Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. So Kokora, it's a Japanese word, and it's a single word for the idea of mind, body, spirit.
Mm.
And even though I can't remember the word, I really like the idea of it being single.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, you know, mind, body, spirit is the ultimate harmony.
Yeah.
You know, that there's a rhythm there.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's in balance, it's easy to just keep on keeping on.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's off balance, it turns into a struggle. And I don't like struggle,
mm-hmm.
you know. I prefer just to be in sync with all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some days I seem to really be in the flow. And then other days, I'm looking in my rearview mirror, judging somebody that passed me a minute ago, like, that bugger,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so if I can stay in my own lane, you know, if I can be, you know, just taking care of myself and present, then I feel like I'm in harmony.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I like that. Thank you.
Yeah.
And what's true, too, like, he's the most consistent personality I've ever met,
mm-hmm.
in terms of what he just said, mm-hmm. in our house, because mm-hmm. we have two kids. If Clay's off, it's weird,
mm-hmm.
because you're so consistent.
Mm-hmm. I know somebody like that, yeah. too, and it throws me off when they're off,
uh-huh.
and I get mad when they're thrown off, and it doesn't give them permission to be thrown off.
Yeah.
We've had lots of conversations about that.
Yeah.
So
your husband?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, it is okay for me to be angry. I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
That takes away my entire equilibrium.
Yeah.
But that being said, I just mm-hmm. want to thank both of you for taking the time to speak with us today and to learn about Roots. I'm curious if someone were listening to the podcast today and wanted to access services at Roots Collaborative, how could they get in touch with you, Julie?
So we have a website, rootscollaborative.com. They can call me, 310-625-2369. And Clay's phone number is 310-936-1223. We also can be emailed, julie@rootscollaborative.com. And the same thing, clay@rootscollaborative.com. But, you know, we make ourselves accessible. We get back to people right away. We'll text, we'll email. You know, and our first order of business is always to see if we can be of service. And if we're not a direct fit or for some other reason, there's not, you know, good synchronicity to work mm-hmm. together, we always try, which I value in your team, mm-hmm. is who is the next right person to call that's trustworthy, that can be a resource.
Right.
Because when people are in crisis, as you well know,
mm-hmm.
we might not, I mean, we would be remiss if we were one size fits all.
Right.
So being able to refer out is important to us, and we really appreciate that about your team.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, we look forward to building our relationship with you all. And again, it's been a pleasure getting you up here to visit us, and we invite people who are listening today to check you out. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
We
appreciate it.